Rocking and rolling it into the evening. Dan Etherley's here. He's a garden guru. He's an author, a zoologist, and environmental consultant.
Yes, so kind of that's what, you know, my main sort of day job at the moment is environmental consultancy. So kind of interviewing people, writing reports on waste and recycling and that sort of thing.
Because a big thing amongst us gardeners, this recycling and trying to reuse.
Yeah, so one of the projects I've just kind of finished working on was all about this idea of the circular economy.
Yeah.
So at the moment, 99.99% of everything businesses and we all do is kind of linear. So we take things, make things, consume them, and then just chuck it out.
The magnet at the end is some money, right?
Exactly, yeah. So that's the system we're in. So the circular economy, so it's all very well recycling, you can carry on recycling, and the more you recycle in a funny sort of way encourages the front end of this linear system to produce even more. So, you know, and it's not sustainable because the planet's resources are ultimately limited. So how about, you know, creating a new system that's more circular?
Oh.
So it's a sort of, it captures a lot of ideas that have been knocking around, you know, for, you know, decades. So the idea of biomimicry, so designing systems that mimic the way, you know, biological organisms kind of do things. So in a, I suppose you could look at renewable energy as a bit like biomimicry, in that you're creating effectively a kind of leaf that can use sunlight to make energy.
Yeah.
So it's those sort of ideas. And then there's a lot of ideas around waste prevention and waste reuse and sharing resources, sharing surpluses. So it's not really rocket science, the actual elements of the circular economy. The problem is this linear system is so fixed that you almost need a kind of revolution in a way, or a paradigm shift to change the whole system around.
I find it so interesting that it's often around language. If you can coin something accurately,
yeah,
you can make it, you can do it, you can adhere to a plan.
Yeah.
But if the language is woolly, I mean, we always say that, let's not talk about Brexit on this show, but my gosh, what a woolly exercise this has turned out to be. Because the language around it has meant, it's kind of a meaningless term. It means it means nothing really. So it doesn't. And
problem
that's
is
the whole
issue.
It means
too many things to too many people.
Yeah, it's a very. It was never. You need your terms of reference to set out in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about a scientific approach to the environment, to gardening, to ecology. Is if you just get your terms of reference sorted before you start on something. Gosh, it's useful later.
Yeah, and what I think maybe you were saying earlier about working more with nature in gardening, that is totally in the ballpark of circular economy, because you are trying to understand the systems, the ecosystems, and not fight against them, but use them in a way. So everything could be, all the organic stuff should be thought of as nutrients in this system that's cycling round and round. And maybe it might help humans. I mean, it will help humans if we get the system more circular, but we should be kind of going beyond our own selfish thing to just what is good for this system. How can we be more restorative and regenerative? That's really a key aspect of it.
And of course, a wider aspect of that, that's what our good farmers do indeed when they're feeding the soil, as opposed to, you know, which is an older type of model, which was that this soil will stay fertile forever. We just need to top it up with stuff we get from a factory. Well, we know as growers now that we're actually,
and that
husbandry
stuff,
is so
that,
important.
I mean, I would say that stuff from factories, the artificial fertilizers, is just far too cheap. It's got these hidden costs on the planet that we don't, as consumers of food, pay. Farmers don't pay it. No one pays it. But we're storing out, you know, big debts for the future because it's cheap because it's a byproduct, isn't it, of the oil industry. So, I mean, am I allowed to say that on the BBC?
Well,
anyway,
yeah.
I think that's why it's cheap. And plastic, in a way, is the same thing. That's a byproduct of the oil industry. So if all these industries, and I'm not criticising the oil industry because I massively benefit from it.
No, we all benefit from cheap food.
Saying,
we just need to think differently.
Yeah. So I think that we need to rethink that whole system. And it's incredibly difficult. And I can't say I'm massively optimistic about
really,
it. But,
yeah.
But yeah, you know, maybe we can do my, you know, I'm trying to do my little bit, but
yeah, hey. That's it. Do what you can is my motto, and this show's motto. Do what you can.
Yeah. Totally.
But better than just don't worry too, just do what you can. Yeah. Do something. You're going back to your book, you did some great stories in here. The Hedgehog is one of my favourite. I won't do a spoiler on that because it's very interesting. What's your favourite story? Do you have something that shines out?
I suppose I love the attempt to try and control Japanese knotweed. So, you know, we're back to the knotweed again, I'm sorry about that. But basically, the only kind of weapon we've got, and it's always framed as though it's kind of a war, is glyphosate. Is that how you pronounce
yeah,
it?
Glyphosate. Say how you like, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Glyphosate. But I gather that glyphosate could be banned maybe in a couple of years, or would have been banned. We don't know now.
Monsanto, who makes it, yeah, are being sued in
That's
America
right,
to a lot
yes.
of money. And if, you know, like they always say, if they sneeze, we catch a cold, you know.
Yeah. So it's glyphosate is the kind of active ingredient in Roundup, which everyone's like really familiar with probably among your mm-hmm. audience. But that's basically the only thing that can stop Japanese knotweed. I think it gets kind of injected into the stem, and you have to come back like maybe two or three times more just to keep on like clobbering this thing. And so, you know, people that want to move away from these artificial weed killers are kind of looking for new solutions. And in Exmoor National Park, I went along to see a company that's working with the national park that's using electricity.
Oh,
so they're actually electrocuting the Japanese knotweed. So that was quite funny. They're
really?
Using this thing, I think they call it Root Wave Pro or something. And basically, it's a huge kind of lance that this guy comes along with, and kind of like there's a little kind of spark at the end of it.
It's shocking, Dan.
It is shocking. I have to say, though, when I watched it, it sounds really exciting, but it was just like a really disappointing indoor firework. I didn't actually say that in the book because I thought that would be too rude to the
but
people.
Have they got
it.
High hopes?
Well, I think so, yeah, because they had a trial. I was there for a trial. It was in Exmoor, it was by the River Barle, where they had this one sort of sprout of knotweed next to the river. And this guy was coming in right next to the river with 5,000 volts, saying, right, let's give it a zap.
Everyone got their wellies on.
Everyone got their yellow wellies on.
Oh, really?
Quite right.
Yeah.
The full PPE.
Yeah.
I think he even had like a hat and goggles on and everything. And it was, and at the end, I've no idea if it worked or not, but the National Park, I believe, are actually ordering in one of their own Root Wave Pros just to zap, not just the knotweed, but also the Monbretia is a big trouble there.
Oh, yeah,
the Crocosmia.
Yeah.
So,
and that gets going. And then in the rivers, of course, we've got the Himalayan balsam all running them up. I mean, it's all there. But you cover this ground in the book. Now, tell us, you're doing some a bit of a book tour, doing some talks.
Yeah, I'm meant to be trying to get my act together to do a bit more. But can I read you out some dates?
Crack on.
So Sunday the 10th of November, I'm going to be at the RAM, the museum in Exeter.
Yeah, Royal Albert Memorial Museum.
You said it. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, in a kind of conversation with a very, very interesting writer called Isabella Tree.
Yeah.
She wrote a book called Wilding.
I know very much, yeah, about rewilding project on a farm in, is it East Sussex or something?
Yeah, Nep, I think.
Yeah.
So, in conversation with her, so that should be really interesting to go along to. That's part of the Exeter Literary Festival. And then if you can't make that, I'm also being roped in by Exeter University. In fact, the same Exeter University people that did the rabbit research.
The lapinologists.
Indeed, yes. They're actually our zooarchaeologists, so that's like five vowels in a row or something.
Yeah.
There. Zooarchaeologists. And they've got me coming in on Tuesday the 19th of November in the evening for Being Human Festival. And that's at the library, Exeter Central Library. And it's kind of speed dating with scientists, apparently.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so I'm apparently a scientist for this one.
Well done, Dan, yeah.
Talking about invasive species.
That's really good. It was lovely. Do look out for the book. It's in all good bookshops?
It is. excellent
bookshops. And on the Tintinet as well. A lovely hardback book. And I have to say, it's beautifully written, Dan. You've got a great turn of phrase. And it's, the great expression, walked in across Doggerland, talking about something which was obviously before the ice melted in the Ice Age, the channel filled up. But Doggerland, which we'll know from the shipping forecasts, I'm speaking to the flotilla now.
Yeah.
We do have a section of our listeners who are on yachts. The
brilliant
flotilla, as we call them. And you will know about Dogger when you listen to the weather forecast or planning a jaunt up to the north. So yeah, there we are. It's a beautiful book. It's a lovely cover, lovely artwork. Dan, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I could talk to you for ages.
Yeah, well, love to come back anytime.
Yeah, really good. And best of luck. Stay in touch with the show. It's been
will do.
So interesting to speak to you.
Likewise.